Welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live on Facebook and YouTube every Tuesday at noon. Today, we're featuring our second community spotlight, the Kokomo Rescue Mission. So we'll be interviewing Kevin Smith, the new executive director, and Mary Price, the events and volunteer coordinator. They'll be sharing about the month-long food drive that just started October 1st, all the great things the mission is doing to our community and ways we can help. Stick around.
Kevin Smith is the new executive director of the Kokomo Rescue Mission. Prior to coming to KRM, he was the executive pastor at Crossroads Community Church. He and his wife are longtime Howard County residents. Mary Price is the events and volunteer coordinator for KRM and has been there for 3 years. Her and her husband are also longtime Howard County residents as well. Mary heads up the fall food drive, which will begin this Saturday. Let's welcome Kevin and Mary to the show.
Yay!
Hey guys, thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us and talk about what it is that you guys do. And hopefully we enlighten some people out there who maybe need to know more or want to get involved, and we'll kind of cover all that stuff today.
We're glad to be here. Thank you.
So, hey, go ahead. I was just going to say, let's start out with kind of do a quick overview of what the Kokomo Rescue Mission does. Not necessarily a mission statement, but just kind of what is it that you guys do over there on a day-to-day basis?
Okay. Kokomo Rescue Mission is next year will be 70 years of serving this community. And primary thing we do is to help those that are homeless, hungry, and hurting in any way we can, showing the love of Jesus to them as we do so.
Wow.
That's a lot. Great to hear that. The three H's. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So, you know, with that said, I mean, how many people do you think you're helping, you know, in the course of a year?
Well, actually, Mary has some stats, and I'm going to let her share a little bit of that because she's holding it. But I would say this. Last night, we provided housing to 107 men, women, and children in our community. And if today is a typical day, we will serve a hot meal twice a day to a total of 250 people.
Wow.
So, Mary, you've got some other stats that kind of go further than that, right?
Yes, yeah. Again, thank you for having us. I've got stats from our 2021 end-of-year report. And last year, we offered shelter through our – we deal with the homeless people by the shelters. We have three shelters. One's men's shelter and then two women's shelter. One women's shelter has women and children, and another women's shelter is specifically just for single women. And last year, there were over 550 different men, women, and children that came through our doors. Some stay 1 to 2 nights, some stay 1 to 2 to 3 years, depending upon the need and how they're working on goals to address some of the issues that brought them there to begin with. So we deal with the homeless and offering shelter and a lot of programs to deal with those issues. We have a nutritional ministry, and last year we served over 87,400 meals in our nutritional ministry that went directly to the community. Now, I want to highlight and make sure that everybody understands. Last year, the first two quarters from January to June, we served 38,000 meals. This year, the same 6 month period, we are serving 51,666.
Wow.
We're up over 35% of the same time period that we served last year. And it's the same with our residents as far as the nights of shelter. So you can see, for whatever reason, and I know there's a lot of them that come together, there is a need out there and it is growing, and we are anticipating and trusting God and planning for even more as we go into the colder winter seasons and we go into the holidays where people just seem to need more assistance. They just, for whatever reason, they either need housing, they need help with clothing, they need help with furniture, they might need extra meals. We also give out grocery sacks every month to different people that would income qualify. And so we just have a lot of different resources that we try to help the homeless and hungry and hurting. And it is just growing.
And I would add to that, we were talking before we came on the air here, there is a broad a breadth of people in this community that have historically volunteered here, provided donations, provided donated food. And we're glad for an opportunity like this to make the community aware that not only like we've needed them in the past, in one sense, we need them more this year than any year before, because as the demand rises, so do we need the supply to rise to be able to meet the demand. So we're thrilled for the chance to let the community know just how important it is that they get behind this canned food drive that's happening during this month.
Right. So that's a great segue in that, Mary, to talk a little bit about that food drive. So it started October 1st. Is that correct?
Correct. Last Saturday. Right.
So give us a little bit of ideas. Is that something we can do as a business to help participate in individuals?
Yes. Yes. And yes. If you want to go to our website, which I'm sure you're putting information up, it's www.kokomorescuemission.org. Very easy to remember. You can also call us at the phone number 765-456-3838 and ask for me. We are actually combining this year. Typically in the past, we do two separate food drives. We'll do a fall food drive, which is churches and community businesses and just people in general in the community. And then we do a school food drive. This year, we're combining both of those in October and trusting that we're going to just really hopefully just blow records from last year because the need is so much. So if you are a church or a business or an organization, we have Girl Scout troops, we have hospice organizations, we have businesses, we have hospital groups. You can give me a call and I can get you set up with flyers that has our most needed items as well as any other supplies you might need. And if you happen to be a teacher or an administrator in a school, and it's like, I didn't get a call about that because I wasn't able to reach every school, and you're interested in doing that, give me a call as well, or go to our website and go to our box for more information and just sign up and I will get that email as well and we can get you started. And I do want to point out, yes, October 1st through the 31st is our fall food drive. Last year between our school and our fall, we did over 38,000 pounds. We are trusting and believing for 50,000 pounds this year. And I just can't even tell you guys the amount of storage space it takes for that. But 38,000 pounds and we ran out this summer. We need that plus more. So if the community will get behind and let us know, you know, that they're willing to support us, we would love to have their donations. And also not just food, but cash donations are really important as well. You could go to kokomorescuemission.org. And one of the big needs we have this year is protein. That's not in our fall food drive typically, but we need meats, and beans are in the obviously a protein in the food drive. But we need meats. We need beef. We need pork. We need venison. Deer season is coming up. We need poultry and chicken. And guess what? Thanksgiving is coming up. We need 100 turkeys this year just to be able to do our community feast. So we will take any kind of food donations or monetary donations to help us get a good hold on getting started for the next year.
That's awesome. That's great numbers that you've got, Mary, that you're able to put out there with what it is. And Kevin talking about just the increase in it. That, yeah, the community's there. We just need to step up a little bit more. So I know Karen will get a hold of you. We can get a poster put up and we can get some food coming in the downtown area too. But that's the need that we can get this out. So we'll share this on other platforms, try to get people to help sign up or give you a call on it.
Great.
So, So tell me this, because I don't know the behind the scenes. So you're talking about a lot of local stuff, local help, local participation, donations. Does every community have the equivalent of a Kokomo rescue mission? Is there something at the state level? Are there funds involved outside of community?
My understanding, your answer, your initial question is no. Not every community has a mission. Matter of fact, we see our scope and range to be the six counties that kind of surround and collar Howard County here. There are other missions around the state, but there are communities that do not have one, and there is no state level oversight or coordination of this. It's more individual. Matter of fact, if you check out our website, the history of this mission was there were a couple of ladies in this community clear back in 1953 that said, we've got to have something going on here. And they just kept beating the drum until the community got behind it and started the mission 70 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty neat. And then another thing I want to know about is, like, you've got people that they're going through a bad point in their life and they've got nowhere to go and they're coming to you for shelter and food. What are some of the programs like, what are you doing to help them, you know, overcome that and to, you know, to seek employment or a stable income to provide their own shelter? Like, what kind of programs specifically do you offer them?
I'm going to let Mary talk about what we do with the women here in just a moment, but we're here in an office right here that's part of our main location here at 321 West Mulberry. And we have a men's facility here, men's shelter that houses up to 65 men. We currently have about 54, I think, that's in our facility right now. And we provide them, first of all, with a roof and a bed and a place where they can kind of have a home base. Many of them work, or we work to help them get jobs to be able to accomplish their programs. Some of them are involved in the courts, and we work to help them cooperate with their court programs. Some of them are working through addiction issues or mental health issues, and we work with our community partners to help them move forward in that regard. Some of them work here for the mission in part-time jobs to help us with the operation of our warehouse and our store and some other things. And we're working them on a program to where someday we can shake their hand and say, you're moving on to what's next. And their trajectory has been changed to go up. That's what we try to do with the men. And I know we do some similar things with the ladies, correct?
Yes, yes. As I mentioned earlier, we have two women's shelters. Open Arms is the one that has been around for 21 years, and a lot of people are familiar with it. And it houses women and children. And it can hold up to about 65, but depending upon the family dynamics, that can be full at a little bit less amount because we have family rooms and we wouldn't want to put a mom and her two kids in with another family. So for their privacy, they would get their own rooms. And then Watered Garden is our single women's shelter. It opened in October of 2019. And both of those are program-based. We are a program-based shelter, both of those, as well as the men's. We do have some basic programs that we try to get people to, or get our clients to get involved with. For example, if somebody comes in, we do have a three-day emergency, you know, if they want to stay. And then after the shelter and they are sober, then we ask them, and they work with a case specialist, an option specialist, to try to say, okay, what are the goals that you wish to accomplish? We don't have a one-size-fits-all program when they show up. They come in. Some of them might even need, like, naturalization. Some of them come in, they don't even have a driver's license. Others come in, and they might have a master's degree, and they just have a mental health issue, or they just have made a bad turn. And so we are trying to help them get help through the programs that we offer to address many different issues, to try to get them housing, to try to get them employment, if that's the goals. Some of them to try to get a connection back with children that they may have burned bridges with families and stuff like that. And if I can take a quick minute in light of Hurricane Ian, one of our employees now that was a former resident came here because of a hurricane in Florida. She was in family, and down in Florida, a hurricane completely destroyed her home. She had no insurance to cover that. She had no home to go back to. So she found herself in Howard County for no fault of her own, she was doing a good thing helping family member, but became homeless. And so she got involved in our shelter. It wasn't mental health. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't court. It was just circumstances. And so I just want to point out, not everybody is a difficult case that they've made it on themselves from no fault of their own. They end up homeless, and we're able to offer them hope and just the framework in a safe, sober environment to get their lives rebuilt.
Wow. Brings a whole new meaning to starter home,
Steve. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's, I know. So, on that, cause you guys mentioned the warehouse and the store. So that's big also with the stuff that goes in through there. So, and I've been in both those and donated back in the back and in the stores and stuff. So I think it's a great location where you guys are sitting there with being able to have the store right across from the rescue mission. So that helps tremendously with it. Talk a little bit. We talked earlier, like some volunteer opportunities. I know Noon Rotary does some stuff for you guys, but there's other people that come in like on Sundays to help serve meals. That can be just like different organizations, right? Churches, mortgage companies, or whatever, that can just sort of volunteer and try to get on a basis to help you guys out as well, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. We have volunteers that work as little as maybe 2 days a year to volunteers that work 2 or 3 days a week, sometimes more here at the Rescue Mission. And there is absolutely no way that the Kokomo Rescue Mission could operate without our volunteer base. It would just be an impossibility. If you are a single or individual, or you are a group, like you said, the Rotary, or if you are a church group, or if you're a business, we've got opportunities for everybody. We're always looking for people to serve in the kitchen, and that could be a single or it could be 2 or 3 people. We have several offices that they just, or churches, they just take over and say, we'll do the third Sunday of the month, and they will provide people for that. We don't need to know the specifics. We have had some awesome office volunteers come in that keep our mailings going out, that do a lot of our data entry work. Over at the store, we have a family that volunteers every other Saturday that just sorts linens, that things like that, and gets them in, you know, this is this size sheet and that. And then we have big groups that come in. We had a group that came down from Mishawaka, and it was a finance organization, brought 2 different groups on 2 different days, so their offices were still staffed. They did painting, they did landscaping, they did weeding, cleaning up, they did deep cleaning. There are a lot of opportunities available. And coming up on the holidays, I can tell you, and please let people know, we will be doing the fall food drive. We can always use volunteers that like to just move heavy cans. That'd be great and awesome. Yeah. I want to go to schools and churches and pick them up. We're having our Thanksgiving feast. We need people that help prepare food. 100 turkeys need to be plucked, so the meat needs to be pulled off. We need volunteers for that to serve on that day. We need delivery drivers. We can never have too many. We had 60 last year, and many of them had to go through a second time. Christmas, we need delivery drivers. Our goal is to send out 700 household boxes. So we need drivers that are willing to take those boxes out. We need drivers that are willing, or people that are willing to move boxes inside. We need people that are willing to come on board and wrap gifts for all the gifts that are in those boxes. So again, go to KokomoRescueMission.org or call the number for the Rescue Mission and ask for the volunteer coordinator. And I would be glad to get you plugged in. On the website, if you go to Get Involved, down there it has our volunteer application. You can go ahead and print it off and send it to me. So right away, I've got a head start on seeing some of your giftings and your interest, and we can get you plugged in.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, awesome stuff. I had the opportunity years ago when my kids were much younger, when Bob Cox was at the Rescue Mission, to be able to help with the Christmas delivery 1 year, because we happen to have a truck. So it just worked out, but it was really heartfelt. It was great. The people, you could just see the love in their eyes when you took that to them and delivered it. And everything's like that. It's in a big box and everything's wrapped. It's specific to that family when you drop it off. So it's really neat to be able to take part in that. So like what you were saying on there, Mary, Yeah, if you had data entry, you can volunteer at the rescue mission, right? You guys can use people with different skill levels. You don't have to just serve food. So I think it's great that those people came in and did painting and cleaning and landscaping. So,
And I think all those opportunities, I love the diversity and the breadth. There's not a style or a gift mix or a particular talent that we don't have a match for, I think, here. But I think it's also crucial to keep in mind, when we say we don't mean this mission, not this organization. Truthfully, you're serving the 107 people that we provided a roof for last night. You're serving the 1,000 people that will be able to eat a better meal at Thanksgiving than they would if we weren't here. You're serving the 700 families that are going to, you're serving those people that quite honestly get often forgotten in society and ignored, and you're getting a chance to serve them. And because we're a faith-based organization, we believe we're really serving the Lord. And we're asking God to bless our efforts to help the least of these. So it's
there you go.
We need to serve.
Absolutely. Right.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's been great information. Like we've talked about earlier, and we've done the walk a mile in my shoes. Our office has done that because we're downtown, you know, so it's sort of close heart and doing that kind of stuff. And it's cold, right? But it lets you realize that it is cold and why we need to try to do that stuff we can for you guys at the rescue mission. So thanks so much for everything you do for our community with what you've got on it. So we can go from there. Hey, before we say goodbye to you guys, if anybody's got questions, just pop them down in the news feed. Carrie can get them back over to Kevin and Mary so they can try to answer them. If we get anything in there, we'll send it back over to you. If you like this, please share it. The more shares we get locally and in the 6-county area, it's just going to help so much more with the food drive and everything else that we've got on it. So again, thanks so much for taking a little bit of time and spending it with us today.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity. You can tell we're excited.
There you go.
We appreciate you coming on. All right. So next week, are interest rates heading back below 5%? What's causing the current interest rates to rise? How does inflation work, and what's the driving force behind it? Next week, we're sharing a recent interview with an industry expert, Barry Habib. He'll answer all these questions in a very easy to understand way. You're not going to want to miss this. See you next week.